Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question for you. Did you know that anxiety disorders are the most common mental health disorders in the U.S. and affect approximately 40 million people? Well, my guest today writes this. No question, we have a lot to worry about. Children, jobs, home, health, finances, and more. The solution isn't to rid ourselves of the sources of anxiety as if we could. Instead, we need to recognize that anxiety originates from a spiritual influence, and we can fight back using the God-given weapons of power, love, and sound mind. My guest today is Dr. Michelle Bankston, and her book is titled Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. Again, I'm so thrilled. I love that we get to give books away every day on this show. We've got 5 copies of Breaking Anxiety's Grip to get into your hands. Here's how you do it. If you want to enter the drawing, you text just the word book. Nothing else, not book in your address, not books, not even book with an exclamation point, because once you text book, then you get it kicks back a link to you, and that's how you enter the drawing. So book is the word, and the number 877-933-2484. You can also use that same line to text your questions, comments throughout the conversation, as well as email. middays@myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Michelle Bankston's a board-certified neuropsychologist with more than 25 years of experience in the mental health field. She's a national and international media resource on mental health and wellness. She is the author of the award-winning Hope Prevails and Hope Prevails Bible Study. She writes for Roma Downey and Mark Burnett's lightworkers.com and For God's Glory Alone Ministries. She lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with her husband of 30 years, their 2 sons, and their 3 dogs. Dr. Bankston, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's my delight to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days, pondering, that you can share with us?
Oh, there has been a verse that has been on my heart really strong in the last couple of weeks, and it's Jeremiah 17:14. That's the verse that says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise." That one has come to mean so much to me. My husband has been diagnosed with cancer 3 times, and 2 weeks after I turned in the manuscript for Breaking Anxiety's Grip, I was diagnosed with cancer. So I'm clinging on to that, not just for myself and for my husband, but for several friends. We've lost 9 friends in the past 4 months to cancer, and so I have many who are strongly on my heart, and we are looking to the Lord to be our healer and our savior. But even if he chooses not to heal on this side of heaven, he's still the one that we choose to praise.
Amen. Wow. Wow. I did not know you were battling. So where's your husband at in his cancer journey?
Well, he is doing amazingly well. In fact, the day that my first book, Hope Prevails, was released, he was diagnosed with his 3rd kind of cancer, and we just had a scare this spring. And you know, it's really interesting, Susie, because when you write a book on things like depression or anxiety, you really get a chance to test your message and how much you truly believe what you have put into press. And I had a choice to decide, well, are we going to trust God, or are we going to go down that slippery slope of worry, fear, and anxiety? And even though we were concerned about what the results are, he's doing amazingly well. So thanks for asking.
And then how about you?
Well, we're still believing for complete healing.
All righty. So are you feeling all right?
You know, it's been a really difficult 3 weeks, and the last couple of days have been particularly difficult. And so that verse has really meant a lot. But it's in those days when you're really in the valley, I've come to find out that when you're in the valley, that's when the fruit grows the most. That's when we cling to the Lord the most, and that's when we really have to hold on to his promises. And that's also when anxiety most has the chance to creep into our lives.
Right.
And so I really had the opportunity, particularly for myself in this past year, to decide, okay, Lord, I'm really going to cling to the promises that you've given us, because if we can't believe that, what can we hold on to? And he has always proven himself faithful. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to answer or in the timing that he wants that we want him to answer, but he is always faithful. And that's what I just have to keep coming back to. And so even on the days when I don't feel particularly well, and sometimes there are days that lapse into weeks, but he's always there. He's always present. And the nighttime hours are the most difficult, but that's when I have the best prayer time. Mm. And the sometimes that I spend the most time in the Word is in the middle of the night when it gets the most lonely.
Wow. You know, I want to just pause and pray for you because you really are in the wine press. And if you're not feeling well, that you would keep your appointment with us, which we would have understood if you would have said, not feeling well today, battling cancer. We would have said, oh, my goodness, we bless you and we pray for you. But the fact that you showed up, even so, I just, friends, if as you're listening, if you would just, if you're not driving, extend your hand towards Dr. Michelle today. And Lord, we lift up our dear sister to you, and I pray for her and her husband, God, that you would bring healing. As we don't understand the mystery of why some godly folks get healed and why others graduate to heaven, but our ways are not your ways. Your ways are higher. But I just declare your goodness over both Dr. Michelle and her husband, and I pray for healing. I pray for redemption. Completely, Lord, of the hurt, their health, their strength, and every moment the enemy has stolen from them. And I just ask you to quicken her mortal body even now as we have this conversation. Strengthen her as she goes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, you've worked in the mental health field for a long time. What have you learned about anxiety? Maybe even that surprised you.
You know, I think what surprises me the most is how much people are willing to talk about it. My first book was about depression, and that really came out of a personal story. And I wrote that because by 2020, depression is going to be our greatest epidemic worldwide, greater than cancer, heart disease, and AIDS combined.
Whoa.
And so that was a book that God really put on my heart because we're seeing statistics every day. I saw another statistic yesterday about how the age group of 10 to 14, the suicide rate has tripled in the last 5 years for our young children. And so that was a book that I felt was so important. And then readers actually wrote to me and said, when are you going to write a Bible study? And I said, oh, no, I don't write Bible studies. I'm not Beth Moore. I'm not Priscilla Shire. And the Lord really got hold of my heart and said, you might not write Bible studies, but I do. So in obedience, I wrote that one. And then readers wrote to me and said, and when are you going to write a book on anxiety? And I thought, wow, I'm not sure I want to take on another heavy hitter. I wanted to write a book about chocolate or iced tea. But having been in mental health for so long, I knew that a book about anxiety was important because so many patients who come into my office might struggle with anxiety, but depression is not far behind. Or people come into my office presenting with depression, but anxiety is something that they also struggle with. And so they often go hand in hand. And I just knew that we needed to address that component because not everybody struggles with both, for sure. But anxiety is just so rampant. And what I've seen over the past decade is that more and more of our teens and our children are struggling with depression and anxiety, where I didn't see that 30 years when I started my career. Children presented with depression or anxiety when major life incidents happened. Their children, their parents got divorced or a parent died or they were diagnosed with something. And now I see it everywhere I look. Hmm. And so I realized we've got to get a handle on this so that we can also help our children. Because not always do we just have the genetic contributors, but we also model from a depressive or an anxious mindset. And so we need to learn how to handle this so that we can help our children know how to address these issues. And so that became the burden on my heart. And what has been really profound to me since the book released is that when people post about the book or about how it has helped them, many other people that I don't know raise their hand and say, oh, that's a book I need because I really struggle with it. So in this day where I'm trying to work towards breaking the stigma about mental health issues because so many struggle, even within the church, I'm finding that it's easier for people to admit to worry or fear or anxiety than it is to admit to depression. And that has really surprised me a lot.
I wonder, you know, they say that even the entertainment we choose really does impact us, our brain structure as far as our input. So you think of children today versus children 25 years ago, the input that they have in the games and the entertainment, and then you throw the whole social media thing in there, you know, these young kids with phones and comparing and the cyberbullying and I can't, no child is wired to be able to manage that kind of input. It is no wonder that we have anxious, stressed, and depressed children.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. In our household, we always set a 30-minute-a-day limit for any kind of screens. And so our kids had to really decide where were they going to spend that time. And, you know, so many of the parents that came into my family or came into my practice just looked at me like I had three heads, like, how do you do that? I said, well, it's a matter of priority, and I want to make sure that I know what's going into my kids' minds. And even today, we no longer have a TV in our family because we've really chosen, especially with our battles with cancer, we've decided that what we want to go into our eyes and into our ears is wholesome and filled with truth. And we realized that it didn't matter how many channels we had, there was really not that much of value that was out there. And so we chose for our own selves to get rid of that. And now I have to kind of chuckle because I think I don't know where I had time to watch all that television before, because I'm so busy now that I don't think I would have time to sit in front of it and just mindlessly absorb. But my kids are really grateful. In fact, my youngest, who is a junior in high school, the other day thanked me that I didn't let him watch some of the things that his peers had watched when he was growing up. So I was pleased to see that he could recognize that not everything out there is created equally.
That's right. It's not all good. A lot of it's bad. When we come back, I want you to define anxiety and maybe even make the distinction, if there is, between anxiety, worry, or are they kind of the same thing, and then how fear plays in that as well. Talking to Dr. Michelle Bankston, her book is Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. We'll talk about the physiological aspect of worry, the implications of worry on us physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And as Michelle said in this intro of the book, that she's going after the spiritual component, but there are physiological implications, and she'll talk a bit about meds and what they do. And some people, they rely on those medicines because they don't feel like they'd survive without them. I want you to talk, if you would, Dr. Michelle, about that, just your perspective on that. 5 copies of the book. If you want to text to get in the drawing, just text the word book. Nothing else. Book, silence. That's it. 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, include those if you want on a separate text or email, middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Michelle Bankston about her book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. We've got 5 copies of that book to get into your hands. We love on Middays giving away books every single day. It's one of our favorite things. We're so grateful to publishers who are so generous getting good resources into your hands. All you got to do is text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. If you've got a question or comment, please send a separate text. That way, when you text book, it'll kick back a link to you so you can enter the drawing. Dr. Michelle, you write this: fear is the emotional response to real or perceived imminent threat, whereas anxiety is the anticipation of a future threat. So talk about what anxiety is exactly and how it differs, if it does, from fear.
Yeah, anxiety is really when we are anticipating something that may or may not ever happen. As opposed to fear, fear is our God-given body's physiological response to an imminent threat, something that is true and really presenting. But what happens is that we become worried, and so we start thinking about things, ruminating about things, and then our body takes over and starts to fall into that anxious predisposition. So we become anxious ridden about things that may never even happen. And that's why I talk about the fact that it steals our peace, because anxiety takes us into the future over things that may or may not happen and takes us out of our present peace. And that's why it steals the peace that God has already promised to give us.
Interesting how you said fear is associated with these surges of autonomic arousals in our body, the fight flight. And as you say, it's God-given, although we tend to let fear have way more impact. I mean, it should have a part in our lives, but it takes up way more real estate than it ought, and God has not given us a spirit of fear. Whereas anxiety, you said, is associated with muscle tension, like a hypervigilance and preparing for the future, or even avoidant behaviors. So anxiety kind of spins off into this hypervigilance That's super interesting because I wonder how often we're self-preserving in ways that are really diminishing our call, our joy, our perspective, because we're kind of playing not to lose.
Yeah, really, anxiety takes away from our ability to focus on what God has given us to do in the moment, because we're reserving part of our attention for looking out for danger, looking out for things that might happen that we're afraid are going to happen or afraid could happen. And so it's little things like I will occasionally find myself with my shoulders up towards my ears. It's like I'm drawing up my shoulders in a posture of being ready to respond to an imminent threat that's not even there. I've started thinking about it in my head, and my body responds physiologically. That's why we get muscle tension, because we are preparing to respond to something that hasn't even presented yet. And so that's why God says, do not worry, do not fear, don't worry about tomorrow. Today already has enough worries of its own. Stay present in today. God's already got tomorrow figured out. But so often we want to jump ahead of him and start problem solving for all the what ifs. And the thing is that we cannot possibly think of the answers for all the probabilities and impossibilities that may never even happen.
You know, think of just in physical fitness, you try to carry a heavy weight with your arms stretched out in front of you, you'll hurt your shoulders, you'll hurt your back. You can carry certain weights, but you can't carry them way out in front. You got to pull them close to your core, to your body, so you can carry a heavier weight. And I think in the same way, we can't carry tomorrow on today's strength. We need to pull it close and stay in that present moment. But talk, if you would, just say a word about the fear factor, because as you said, you know, God gives us this fight flight response. So if a lion indeed is in the parking lot, we go into fight flight and our brains and our bodies kick into this sprint or whatever we need to do. But when we stay too long into fight flight because of maybe worry is fueling fear, that's extremely hard on our body and our spirit and our emotions. So say a word, if you would, on fear.
Yeah, that's so dangerous for us. What we don't realize is that our brains cannot tell the difference between good stress and bad stress. And when we stay wrapped up in fear, we're fueling cortisol into our brain. And cortisol is that fight or flight hormone. But when that is constantly going, because we're constantly staying in a state of worry, fear, or anxiety, then our body reacts physiologically. And that can lead to things like diabetes, heart disease. It can even lead to things like adrenal fatigue, where our body just shuts down because our brain cannot tell the difference between whether or not we're going to a wedding and we're excited or we're stuck in traffic and we're angry. Our brain interprets stress, whether it's good stress or bad stress, the same way. And so we really need to get a handle on this fear and step back and assess the situation and determine what can we do about it and what are we anticipating for tomorrow that isn't here for us to deal with, and turn that over to the Lord and ask him to handle. He is the one who designed our bodies wonderfully and beautifully made. That's what the word says about us. But he didn't design us to handle all the what-ifs and situations for tomorrow that may never even arise. That's why our bodies result in having these physiological reactions, and it will come out physiologically if we don't listen to our bodies.
Well, I've read that it's quite effective to interrupt your worry by just simply doing something else. Brilliant when you think about it. But truly, yes. You're changing the channel. Let's say you're going down a worry path and you stop. And I mean, I like Hallmark at Christmas time, so I would turn on a Hallmark movie, or I would go work out or go take my dog for a walk. But you almost like T-bone that thought by taking a hard right turn and going to do something else. Say a word about that, if you would.
I'll often interrupt worry by just saying no.
It sounds silly,
but I will just say no. You're not the boss of me. God has told me not to worry. He's taking care of it. I'm not going to allow you to rule my life anymore. And just by doing that and determining that that worry is not going to govern me and that I'm safe in the moment, it makes a difference. And then I can just step back, assess the situation, and determine what is my next right step. That might simply be, I just need to write a list of what needs to be done. And that way I don't forget, because sometimes our worry comes because really we're trying to control things that we're not meant to control. And so there are times when we can take things into our hands to control, like we don't want to forget certain things. Okay, write your list so that you don't forget, but don't allow it to be going over and over in your mind. That's why so many people struggle with sleep at night, because they can't let their thoughts just sit back on the simmer. They need to keep ruminating over them at night. Write them down, let them go, pray about it, then go off to sweet sleep.
You know, we've got a couple minutes here to the break, so we may have you just comment on it. And if you need to pick it up on the other side, definitely do that. But I've heard so many stories, Dr. Michelle, of high-level leaders who up to this point never have dealt with panic attacks, anxiety issues, suddenly are undone by a series of panic attacks and bouts with anxiety. And a lot of them have said it came out of nowhere, blindsided me. Now, I would believe that many times this is a spiritual attack. Other times, as I've followed through and interviewed some of these people, they would admit there was an accumulation of stress that they were not tending to their soul, and our bodies can only handle so much. Any other thoughts on why that happens? And it seems to happen at a high level these days.
It really does. And sometimes it starts off with the most minute incidents. You know, nobody ever wakes up in the morning and they've become agoraphobic. It starts with something very benign, like just 10 seconds of turbulence in an airplane. But then from there, if we don't address our stress, if we don't address our worry, fear, and anxiety, when it's at a low grade level, it will take over and expand into the space that we give it. So if we will address it when it's small, then it doesn't become big and catastrophic. But sometimes we just let that stress continue to mount. We let our worries and fears continue to take over more and more areas of our life, and then they do become catastrophic, and then we really need to address them at a bigger level.
And would you say that, I mean, maybe we're hearing it with high-profile leaders, but I'm sure it's happening with people who don't have a platform, who have just up to this point felt like I've never dealt with anxiety or panic, and it's coming out of nowhere. Is it most often accumulative stress? Or, I mean, what do you sense about that?
Well, it can be, or sometimes it can even be something physiologically is going on in their body that's not being addressed. And so it's coming out in the form of adrenaline. And adrenaline will often feel like a panic attack. And sometimes we don't have the right words to give it. And panic attack is one of those things that it is really scary, because it truly feels like you're about to die in the moment. But sometimes what it is we have not addressed issues. I know many right now who are grieving, but they don't feel like they have the time to adequately grieve. And they feel like they can put it on a box. And I'm here to tell you, if you try to put something into a box to deal with it later, it's going to come out later, but it's not going to come out at an opportune time. It's going to come out sometime when there's not the time to deal with it appropriately. And that's when it takes us by surprise.
Wow, very, very, very good. Talking to Dr. Michelle Bengston, her book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. Boy, everybody, to some degree, I would say, deals with anxiety. We've got 5 copies. I would love to get one into your hands. You want to enter the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, you can text those in a separate text or email middays@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the physiological implications, what Dr. Michelle has to say about meds, and we'll be back in a moment. Love that. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Honored to have you listening today. I'm talking to Dr. Michelle Bengston about her book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. Anxiety is epidemic in the U.S. Would you believe that? It is true. And my guest today says it's physiologically impossible to be relaxed, at peace, and anxious at the same time. When we entertain worry, anxiety, and fear, we sacrifice our peace. Talk about the physiological implications, Dr. Michelle, of anxiety, but also your thoughts on anxiety medicine. Some would say that's become a lifeline. You say in your book it does help, but it's treating symptoms, not the core cause. So say more if you would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, physiologically, when we get into worry, fear, and anxiety, then what we're doing is we are sacrificing our peace, because our brain takes over. It assumes that we're in a threatening situation, much like in the old days where the caveman had to be on the alert for predators and being attacked. That's why we were given those God-given hormones, to be able to respond quickly. But the thing is that we were only meant to respond in the moment, not for an ongoing period of time. But in today's society, we live under a constant state of stress. We are constantly responding to the pings that are going off on our cell phones and our tablets because someone is in need of our response, or we perceive that we have to respond to them quickly. So that has created a new level of stress to us. And so we're constantly dumping cortisol into our system, which is telling our brain that we're constantly in a state of emergency. But it's not the same state of emergency that our forefathers were at, where their life was truly on the line. And as a result, we never truly get into that relaxed state. We've got to learn to take time to rest. We need to learn to put things aside and have boundaries around our time. We need to get back to spending time at the dinner table with our families and setting those devices aside so that we can truly let our minds and our bodies rest. And get back to being at a state of rest and relaxation. And when we do, then we remember what it's like to experience some of God's peace. And part of that is getting back to spending time in God's presence. There is no peace apart from being in God's presence. But when we're constantly busy and constantly chasing the next thing and responding to all the demands on our time, so often we tend to sacrifice that time in God's presence. And by doing so, we've sacrificed his peace, and we've given in to this giant of worry, fear, and anxiety. Now,
go ahead.
So many will come into my practice and have either tried medication or have asked about medication as a treatment modality for worry, fear, and anxiety. And many, Susie, have been helped by medication. Medication does help, but it doesn't actually get at the underlying cause of the worry, fear, and anxiety. It does treat the symptoms, so it can help take down that adrenaline rush. It can help remove some of those physiological triggers that we have come to recognize as signs of anxiety in our body. So we know that it helps because we no longer feel some of those physiological sensations of anxiety. But when you take that medication away, frequently the anxiety comes back because we were never really treating the root of the anxiety to begin with. We were just treating the symptoms. So it's much like when you take aspirin for a headache. The aspirin takes care of the pain, but it doesn't really address what the cause of the headache was. The headache could have been because of something you ate, or it could have been because of barometric changes in the atmosphere, or a myriad of other reasons. The aspirin doesn't address any of those causes. It just takes care of the pain.
Well, we are in a day where we really do want, you know, because we're so overstressed, overcommitted, we want to treat symptoms because we got to get on to the next thing. Just as you said before the break, people who have losses, I don't have time to grieve this loss right now. I mean, it's like we don't have time for really, really important things like grieving a loss or taking a Sabbath or not being available on your phone so that your soul can be restored. And the thing is, if we were to say, you know, there are some people, there's probably a small segment of people, maybe because they've got a physiological something, you know, where they need help because they're in major crisis. I'm not a doctor. You can correct me, but I'm just saying where the meds would feel like a lifeline so they can get counseling, so they can make some life adjustments, so they feel like they can find their footing again. But how many, I wonder, are really quickly treating symptoms because they're so uncomfortable, but still not, as you said, addressing, I just need a good bedtime. I need to have less sugar. I need to drink less caffeine. You know, just some things that would make a massive difference in their whole health. You know,
that is so very true, because we've become a society now where we just want a quick fix, whether it's for weight loss or we want a quick fix to take care of the pain that we feel, because anxiety is really painful. It is not comfortable. You want it to go away. When I was in the throes of the worst of my anxiety, I wasn't sure that I would make it another day. I just wanted it to go away. And so that medication is a quick fix because it does quickly deal with the worst of the feelings. But sadly, we're not really addressing the underlying issues. So over time, sometimes those medications become less effective and you need more and more, and you can become addicted to many of those medications. And also, sadly, a lot of those medications can also have negative side effects when paired with other medications that we're taking. So we have to be really careful about always looking at medication as being the answer. There are many times, though, when I saw patients where we needed to do something in the immediate so that they could get to the point where they would benefit from counseling. Hmm. They needed to be taken out of a place of crisis so that then they could start to do the actual healing work. So I'm not against medication, but I am against medication when we look at that as the be-all to end-all and the only approach to treatment, because it's really not. It's often a Band-Aid to help us get to the point where we can do the work. But what I saw in private practice for 30 years is too frequently people didn't want to do the hard work because it was hard. But then I think of the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda. You know, he was ill for so many years, and Jesus came upon him and said, "Do you want to get well?" And at the beginning of my career, I thought, what a strange question, Jesus. Of course he wanted to get well. He's laying there at the pool. He just wants somebody to push him in. But the longer I was in private practice, the more I realized that was a really wise question, because not everybody wanted to do the work. And when he said, "Yes, I want to get well," Jesus said, "Well, then pick up your mat and walk." And that was hard. And then after he was well, he was no longer the lame man. He was going to have to work for a living, and everything about him was going to be different. And so what I've come to realize is sometimes people just want a quick fix instead of actually getting to the root of the problem so that we can eradicate the real problem from our life.
I know someone who had the meds stopped working, so the doc kept writing more meds, and they were on something like 5 different meds. They were getting tremors. There were side effects upon side effects, and they were numbed out. And it just was, you know, they weren't feeling like themselves because they couldn't physically feel anymore because they were so over-medicated. And that person saw Dr. Troy, who we have on. He's a functional med doc. He comes on once a month. And he said, you have an anxiety issue, but you're way over-medicated. And he tested her for some foods, and he had her get off corn and a few other things. And she was able to get off all meds except for one and could feel again. The tremors stopped. And it was like these different foods were causing these cortisol spikes, which felt like panic and anxiety. And so there are answers. That's all I'm saying is that, you know, I'm sure if somebody, it probably feels like we're stepping on some toes here. Don't mean to do that, but that God has a plan to deliver us and to help us. And part of that plan requires our cooperation. I just believe that with my whole heart. And I hear that from you as well. Talk, if you would, about the heredity piece. You know, again, we've covered on the show plenty of times, Dr. Michelle, genetic predispositions on this show. And just because you have a predisposition doesn't mean you need to accept it hook, line, and sinkers. That's my fate. Like,
right.
If you've got a predisposition to alcoholism because you've got a long line of alcoholics, doesn't mean you're destined. You just may have to work a little harder. But talk about, if you've got some, if you've inherited some anxiety issues, even both from what's been modeled to you, but even in the physiology of your body.
Yes, what we have found research-wise is that those who struggle with significant anxiety disorders, and we're not just talking about the everyday worries, but we're talking significant anxiety disorders, there tends to be a greater genetic predisposition in the family that then children and offspring will struggle with some degree of anxiety. But it can become really difficult to tease out, Susie, because not only do you have the genetics that come down in the family line, and genetics are a common contributor to so many disorders, whether we're talking mental health disorders or we're talking about things like diabetes and cancer and dementia. Just because you have a genetic predisposition does not mean that you will end up having the disorder. It just means that you want to be alert and aware that these are in your family line so that you can seek consultation early, because early diagnosis always helps with treatment. But what we also see is that when family members struggle with significant issues like depression or anxiety, very often they're modeling behavior that comes out of the lens that they look from. So I had a mother who was extremely depressed the entire time I lived in the home. So not only did I have a genetic predisposition towards depression, but how she looked at things was through a depressed mindset. And so I would hear things from her, and her comments were coming from the viewpoint of someone who is depressed. So we've got to be careful about assuming that things are coming from our genetics, and that doesn't mean that we don't have any say in the matter, especially when it comes to things like depression and anxiety, because so often our emotions are the outward manifestation of the thoughts we believe. And so it really comes back to taking time to monitor what our thoughts are and to take those thoughts captive and to really assess, where are these thoughts coming from? What thoughts am I believing, and are they truth, or are they a lie that I've somehow come to believe over time? Because our emotions will follow suit with the thoughts that we keep feeding our mind. And so it's so very important that we pay attention to what our thought life is telling us.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of the passage, "Let peace rule and reign in your hearts." That Scripture talks about that it gives us peace at all times. And I know that passage about it ruling and reigning, it translates referee. So it, like the referee blows the whistle when you're out of bounds. And when I'm mentoring young women, I'd say pay so much attention to the peace of God. And if you lose that peace, retrace your steps. And I know for me, Dr. Michelle, I'm actually writing a blog on today's show. Every week we pick a topic from one of our guests and we write a post. And this week's post is on today's show, because I remember a time, you know, my morning times are my favorite times. I sit with the Lord, I'm hugging my coffee, got my Bible in my lap, but my stomach was just in knots. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? But I retraced my steps to the night before, and I just haphazardly turned on the news. And the news feed went from one part of the world to the next, to the next, to the next. Riots, rage, outrage, wars. And it just stressed me out, because I carry a burden for the world, and I carry it sometimes too heavy. And I went to bed with rehearsing all kinds of thoughts of worry and despair over humanity. And I woke up feeling anxious. And that's the thing, is we have a choice. And I think there's something really wise about retracing our steps. When you lose your peace, retrace your steps, because you'll notice somebody looked at you funny, or somebody slighted you, somebody was mean, or your thoughts went rogue. We need to pause here, and I'm just giving a sermon, but why don't we come back? I want to revisit, or I should say visit, I'm revisiting because I saw this in your book, your TRUST acronym, of just about how to access the peace of God when you're tempted towards worry and fear. We're going to just talk, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So this last segment, we'll talk about how to really access the peace of God, how to stand in the power of God when you feel like you're being assaulted by that enemy and by anxiety. Dr. Michelle says this, peace comes from living in the present and remembering what has already been accomplished in the past to assure us of our future. We've got 5 copies of Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. You're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Dr. Michelle Bankston about her book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip, How to Reclaim the Peace God Promises. Listen to this. She says, while we can consider the future, we need not spend too much time there. Instead, we can focus on God's presence, which is with us in the moment and has already gone before us. We tend to approach life thinking, show me, then I'll trust you. But God tells us to trust him, and then he'll show us. So let's talk, if we can, Dr. Michelle, about your word TRUST, as you use as an acronym. The T is take God at his word. Say more about that.
You know, it's so important that we get to a place where we decide that we're not going to believe just some of the scripture, but all of the scripture. When it says that we don't have to fear because God is with us, it means he's always with us. So we've got to get to the point where we really believe that God cannot lie and he always will keep his word. And so when we get there, then it's easier to trust him, because we can't trust anybody to always do everything that they say, but we can trust that God will always keep his word.
And as Billy Graham used to always say, that for every problem, there's a promise, and there's a promise with your name on it. And I just think it's so wise, whatever your season is, to find a verse that anchors you, and the one that you pray, that you say, that you hold on, it'll bring God's word alive, and it helps you own his word, and I think that's powerful. So take God at his word is T. R is rest in his presence. What say you?
Oh, that one is so important to me because I'm not really good about being still and resting in God's presence. I'm a doer. When things get hard, I just do more. And what I have found is that I've had to get to a place where when things get hard, I trust God more, and I trust that he's already gone before me. So that day when I was given a cancer diagnosis, we were actually on our way to my husband's oncology appointment when the phone rang in the car. We were on the way to his doctor, and my doctor called and said, Dr. Banks, I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but you've got cancer, and we need to schedule surgery. And I sat there numb for a moment because we were on the way to his oncologist, and I thought, well, I could have understood if we'd gotten bad news about him, but this has got to be a mistake. And so as we got to his appointment, I sat there for a second and I thought, Michelle, you've got about 10 seconds to make a choice. You can either go down the path of worry, fear, and anxiety, or you can remember that God has always been faithful, and it doesn't matter what these results are. God already knows what he's going to do to get you through this. And so that was a situation where I was able to go, God, you are here. This doesn't take you by surprise. You already know how you're going to get us through this. And so I was able to rest in his presence and know that he already knows our tomorrows and how he's going to get us through. And that just brought so much peace in a moment where I was really tempted to just be full of anxiety and fear.
Well, you were talking to your soul. I think that's just so important. I love the song we've been playing a lot lately, saying no to my downcast soul, saying no to the lies I tell myself. So important to say, listen here. Even David said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in the Lord. All right, so T, take God at his word. R, rest in his presence. U, understand that the outcome does not depend on us. Say more.
Oh, this one took me a long time to learn, and I still have to remind myself, because as humans, where we get so intent on our busyness and on our doing, we sometimes forget that God calls us to believe. That's our first responsibility. And then he will often give us things that he wants us to do, but the outcome really doesn't depend on us. If we are obedient to doing what God has called us to do, to doing what he has asked us to do, then the outcome is ultimately his. And that has brought me so much peace because I've come to realize the outcome's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to be obedient to him and to trust him for the outcome. And trusting God then takes the responsibility for the outcome off our shoulders and places it onto God's shoulders. When we experience worry, fear, and anxiety, we're carrying around a burden that was not meant to be ours to carry. So when we can trust God and understand that the outcome doesn't depend on us, we can sit in his peace and exchange that worry, fear, and anxiety for the peace that Jesus already came to give us.
All right. T, take God at his word. R, rest in his presence. U, understand the outcome doesn't depend on us. S, accept that God is sovereign. Say more.
In accepting that God is sovereign, then really what we're doing is we are agreeing that he's the supreme source of all power and authority. We often struggle with many things, but nothing is too difficult for God. God can do anything and accomplish all things. And whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does. Nothing is impossible for him. So when we get to that point that we accept God's sovereignty and we recognize that he's in control and we remember that he truly does work all things together for our good and for his glory, we can trust that there's a purpose in our situation and that we aren't alone in the battle. And when we realize that, then our worry, fear, and anxiety all come largely out of our feeling of being out of control. But God is in control. And when we remember that and remember that he never withholds any good thing from his children, then we can remain at peace and not fall prey to worry, fear, and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. All right. T, take God at His word. R, rest in His presence. U, understand the outcome doesn't depend on us. S, accept God as sovereign. And finally, T, for the acronym TRUST, turn to the testimony of previous experiences. Say more.
This is so important. In the Bible, there are many times where God prompts His children to build altars of remembrance. And this is largely what I'm getting to about turning to the testimony of previous experiences, whether ours or someone else's. When we take the time to remember other situations where God was faithful, it helps us to trust Him with a greater degree of trust. In that situation where my husband was diagnosed with cancer the third time, I was able to look back on my journal writings and look back on our previous situation, Susie, where my husband was diagnosed with cancer the first time and he was only given 2 years to live.
Mm.
We are now at the 20-year mark.
Oh, wow.
So what God says is that we are to trust Him, depend on Him at all things. He knows the plans that He has for us. They're good, good plans because He is a good, good Father. And so that is a situation in my own life where I'm able to look back and go, God, You knew things that we didn't even know about this situation. You are our healer. We can look to God, to doctors to help us, but You're ultimately the one that we turn to. And so I'm going to put the same faith in You this time that I put in You before. And I'm going to trust that You're going to take care of us the perfect way, with Your perfect will, in Your perfect timing. And when I do that, I'm able to relinquish worry, fear, and anxiety and retain the peace that Jesus came to give us.
Mm. Love this. She said, in order to gain freedom from worry, anxiety, and fear, we must shift the responsibility for all outcomes to God. And I wonder if that isn't the source of so much of our worry, is we're trying to control things that we can't. You know, we're trying to plan for things that are out of our control. And it goes back to cease striving and know that He is God. And that's where the peace comes, really, is when we shift that weight on to Him. And let's talk, if we can, about the passage from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Unpack that verse, if you would, a little bit.
You know, that is such an important one, because when fear comes upon me, I immediately know that this is not of the Lord's, because He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. But we do have a very real enemy, and he loves to trap us in worry, fear, and anxiety, because it paralyzes us and it takes us out of God's peace. And as I really went to the Lord and said, okay, but so how do we fight this? He said, Michelle, I've already given you the tools to fight it. I've given you my power. I've given you my perfect love, and I've given you sound mind. And I never really understood that until I really started researching for this book, Susie, but He's given us power in so many ways. We have power in the words that we speak into our lives and over ourselves. So I start saying things like, instead of, well, I'm just so afraid that, instead of saying things like that, I say, Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to be afraid, because You've said that You are always with us, that You will provide for us, and that You will go with us. And so we have power over our words. So we need to be very careful about the words that we think and the words that we speak. But we also have power from speaking God's word. One of the most powerful prayers that we can pray is a prayer that incorporates God's own words, because He has said His word will not return void until it accomplishes that which He intends for it to accomplish. So He's given us power there. He's given us power from Jesus's name, from Jesus's blood, from sitting in God's presence. There are so many ways that we can appropriate God's power, but it's up to us to do so. He's given us His perfect love that casts out all fear. And one of the ways that we receive that love is by spending time in praise and worship. And when we spend time in praise and worship, that peace comes back and worry, fear, and anxiety will dissipate. And the third thing that He tells us in that verse is that He has given us a sound mind. And what I love about that is that that is the same mind of Christ. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan himself, Jesus always came back with scripture. He spoke the truth, and that is the same sound mind that we have. When He left, He gave us the advocate. He gave us the Holy Spirit to remind us of all truth. But the Holy Spirit can only remind us of that truth that we have learned. So it's so important for us that we are in the Word, renewing our mind daily, building up that sound mind with God's very truth that will bring peace to our hearts and our mind.
Hallelujah. Dr. Michelle Bengston, everybody, her book, Breaking Anxiety's Grip. We'll leave the drawing open for a few more minutes. 877-933-2484. Text the word book, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.